Hi, and welcome to GamerCast, episode 182, and I'm back.
Oh.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
Yeah, yes. I'm back from Canada, baby.
I'm Paul, and we're also joined by...
Catherine.
Yeah, and this is GamerCast for the 10th of January, 2010. And as you obviously can hear, Adam is back from his long voyage across the seas.
Yeah.
Yeah, a month in Canada, where it's warmer than it is here.
That's not difficult. Actually, well, the snow's melting outside now, so we're above freezing.
Yeah. Well, I did get to see some snow. There was snow on the mountains. I went snowboarding a couple of times, so I got to see snow, and I got to see it snowing over Christmas. But luckily, when I went outside, I would either be... It would be slightly cold, or it would be raining. One or the other.
Fun. So, how long were you in Canada for?
About a month.
A month?
Yeah. So, which is pretty cool. Meant I got to hang out with my friends. Got to spend Christmas and New Year's out there. And they've got a new puppy, which is a little basset hound called Esri, who likes to chew everything. And...
Esri?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I just thought Esri. I was like, what? Like...
Yeah, it took me a few moments for the penny to drop. But they're not Trekkies or anything. It was a name. He basically went onto this website of sci-fi names because John got to pick the name of the dog, and he didn't know what it was from when he first read it. But when he read it, he was like, "Oh, that sounds nice, Esri. That I could deal with that." And then he clicked on the link to see where it went. It went, "Oh, right, Esri Dax." Yeah, they're still picked with that. And Kaz is none the wiser, so she agreed to it before he admitted to what the name was actually meant. But she didn't care anyway. But yeah. She's a lovely little pup, but she's a pain in the ass. But as all pups are. But yeah, good holiday. Great to be back.
But, we had fun doing GamerCast without you.
Thanks, I don't know how to take that.
It was so much fun.
I'm sure you had lots of fun. Well, I must admit, I barely get a chance to use my MacBook while I was out there because it needed charging. I had to sit.
Yeah, that's the trouble with a Mac. It has batteries, doesn't it? My computer, what? You plug it into the wall, and it just runs.
It wasn't the fact that I needed to put it on charge. It's the fact you have to hide the cable so the dog doesn't chew it. So you have to use like cushions to hide your cables to plug them into
dog
the walls.
Dog was deaf for a cushion quite fast.
Oh, she's got a hell of a nose on her. You take her for a walk, and she just all of a sudden takes a right angle, and because she smells another dog, and off she goes into a bush. You can't even let her off the leash because she'll just follow her nose from miles. Crazy little thing. But yeah, I haven't had a chance much to surf too much of the internet apart from looking at silly things. Although, Vancouver Airport, they have free Wi-Fi instead of like our airports where they're like, you must sign into this and, oh, we'll charge you such and such, just this one-off fee to go on our network and it'll only work over here. The whole of Vancouver Airport has just got this one Wi-Fi and you open up a web page and it goes, this is the Vancouver Airport Wi-Fi. Please click agree to the conditions, and then it gives you three options, surf the web, or it's got two links to take you to like what the aircraft are doing sort of thing, so you can find out if your flight's late or whatever, which is quite cool. So on the way back I spent most of the time sat surfing my MacBook, which was pretty cool, watching Family Guy. Yeah, oh. Definitely. Right, I suppose we better get on with the show.
Yep. So we've got a couple of news items this week.
Go for it.
It's yours, Paul. Stop playing your game.
Pause.
Is he playing stuff again?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. There's been a few StarCraft 2 announcements.
Ooh. Have they actually announced the date?
No. They have, however, announced that Wings of Liberty, which is the first installment to StarCraft 2, will have a mini Protoss campaign. Somehow going back on what they had already announced.
Okay.
So yeah, the Terran one will have a little Protoss campaign as well.
That bad?
Well, you know, they say they have a game called StarCraft 2. It's got all the campaigns in it. Then what was it? 9 months ago? They say, oh, we're going to split it into three different games.
Yeah.
And now they're putting a little Protoss campaign in with that one.
The only thing I can...
Make up your mind, dudes.
The only thing I can think of is it was obvious why they split them up was the fact that they were putting so much effort into each individual campaign. They realized if they did them all simultaneously, we'd be waiting an eternity for this game to come out, even once they finished the mechanics. So to just play on one story and put all your effort into that and then move on to the next one seemed a good idea. And for them to turn around and do this means that there must be something maybe either linked with that Protoss campaign, maybe linked story-wise to the actual Terran one. I don't know. It depends how much of a mini campaign it is. Yeah. If it's something like Warcraft 3, where at the beginning you could play the prologue and actually play as Thrall rescuing the other orcs. Sure, that was the prologue, wasn't it? Something like that. And you were actually playing as the orcs instead of playing as the humans. Just for story benefit. If it's something that's like that, then I could understand why they're doing it. If they've just shoved it in for the hell of it, then, like you said, it kind of goes against what they turned around and said that they were intending to do by spending more time on one campaign and then spend time on the others once they've released it. Strange. Although, hopefully it will come out. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it will come out.
It better come out this year.
Yeah,
I know. And now maybe. I saw something on a Canadian magazine as I was walking in a video game one, and it had Diablo across the front. And I looked at it, I was like, ooh, ooh, release date. Oh, no, damn it. I kind of got excited. I was like, no, I should stop looking at it. I keep getting myself overexcited about these games that seem like they'll never come out.
So you wanted to talk a bit about the PSP Go, I do believe?
Yeah, I went and bought one.
So you're the one person.
Yeah, I am the one person. Yeah,
you're the person who's bought it.
Yeah, so I decided I got some Christmas money and birthday money in Canadian dollars for me to spend on what I wanted while I was out there. So I got myself some art pens and some fine liners from this art shop out there while I was, because it was a bit cheaper than getting them back here. And I bought myself a PSP Go. So I got the black one. It was a lot cheaper to buy it out in Canada than it was here. Basically, the Canadian dollar, to work it out at the exchange rate at the time, you pretty much took the price and cut it in half. So I know you can pick them up for just a penny under £200 if you go to the right place online at the moment. Otherwise, most of them are still retailing at $249, is it?
Something like that, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
$220, $230 or something.
Yeah, in the stores, they're all retailing online and in the actual retail stores in Canada at $249. So I think with tax on top of that, it was coming up to about 150, maybe 160 quid. I ended up paying for it, which wasn't too bad. And I got a case as well to put it in. I can understand why people are grumbling about it, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think this is a device for someone who doesn't mind spending a lot of money on a handheld console, who's happy to go digital, owns a PS3, and doesn't own a PSP. Or if they do own a PSP, they've recently got rid of it because they stopped using it for carrying around UMDs, or they have it in... They don't need to trade in their old console to buy this new one because they can afford to buy the new one. A lot of people, the complaints I've been reading when I was researching into whether to get one, were all about the UMD, you can't play your old games and stuff like that. And between then and now, the amount of games that are actually on the PSN store for PSP has grown quite a lot. I did watch one review, and I will agree with it, that was on YouTube, that when you pick it up, you can't really play with it from the get-go. It takes a while to get it up and running. The software that's actually on there, from the looks of it, the latest software that was out isn't what's on the actual console. It's actually a bit behind. I'm guessing by the time they finalized what was actually going to be shoved on these things, and they had to go with it, they haven't got round to updating that for the next build. So when you get it, the operating system that's on it works exactly the same as a normal PSP, but it won't let you go onto the store because the store says you're out of date. So straight away you've got to update it to the latest one to get on the store, which you need to do if you want to actually get a game.
That's not like anything majorly new though, is it?
No, exactly. And I must admit, straight away I was like, well, amount of things you know, if you went and bought a new Xbox, you plug it in, it's probably not got the right firmware on it, so it'll want to update anyway. Same with the PS3 and, you know, any of these ones, we're all updating over the internet. So plugged on the Wi-Fi, plugged it into the mains, charged it up, updated it, sorted. And then went onto the store, downloaded a few demos. That was absolutely fine.
Did it come with any games on it already? So like GT5 or anything like that?
It came with Patapon 2 demo already installed.
Okay.
So you could play that from the get-go. So if you weren't near Wi-Fi and you bought it...
Well, yeah, because it sounded like if you didn't have any internet near you, like, you'd be a bit screwed and have nothing that you could play with.
You could play Patapon 2 from the get-go. All you had was power and you had no internet. You could just do that.
Okay.
It does come with a little leaflet inside that's got the code to give you a free copy of Rock Band.
Oh, okay. I'm guessing now, that's because it's a Canadian one.
Yeah.
So that's
the problem is these codes, all they are is a hyperlink to the page, and if you go into this hyperlink, it automatically tells your account you have already paid for this.
Oh, okay.
Because I haven't seen it much in the stores here, but in Canada, if you go to the PlayStation section and then you go to the PSP section, there actually is a whole section of these cards that you get, like, you for the PlayStation Network money.
Yeah.
So you put the code in to get that. They have loads of those, which are just the games.
Yeah, apparently we should be getting those soon.
Yeah, they've already got them all out there, and it's a little bit weird. I didn't want to buy any. Now, this code that I got in the box is exactly the same as that. It automatically tells you the account you paid for it, take me to the purchasable product to allow me to download. I tried the code, it wouldn't work. It doesn't. The end doesn't exist. The reason is, it only works on a Canadian store, and I automatically logged in with my PlayStation 3 network to get access to my UK store. So if I, you know, I wasn't that fussed with that game, and if I ever wanted to play it, I just sign up for an account with the Canadian store,
yeah,
put in the code, I get the free game, and it only works if I'm logged in with that logon. But straight away, it made me feel very grateful that I just didn't spend like $60 on PSP game, which I can't see the point unless you're buying it for someone else or the store is doing a deal and the piece of plastic you're buying is cheaper than it is on the online store.
Mm.
Part of that, you might as well go online and buy it.
I was going to say though, you should be able to, if you redeem the code on the Canadian store, play it on your PSN ID or whatever, because you could download stuff, say, off the, I don't know, unless it's different for the PSP, but with the PS3, if you've got a Japanese or American account, you can download stuff off those. You can only install them on those accounts, but then you can play them on UK accounts or whatever.
Okay.
So it might, it depends if it's the same as the PS3 or not.
Yeah, I was running under the belief that you had to sign in, but so where I learned that information, I think they were saying PS3. So if you're saying it's not for the PS3, I might have got my wires crossed and it is only on PSP where you have to be logged in. But yeah, it might be like that. If not, you know, I might actually try it. I might get a Canadian account just to try it. But to be honest, it doesn't gain me anything because I wasn't that keen on the game itself. The good thing is the store doesn't lock you out if you're on a Canadian IP address, because I was on my mate's internet. It had no issues connecting to that store abroad. So if you get one, you don't have to worry about the fact that you're not going to be able to access the store while you're in a foreign country. So I had no issues with that. The only issue I did have, fair enough, my mate's internet wasn't that fast, but it's fast enough. When I actually used the Wi-Fi to purchase something, I went on and decided I'd just get a cheap game. So I bought the PS1 copy of Final Fantasy VII, so that I've got it as a portable version. And that took absolutely ages, to the point that it actually timed out from the server. So his internet wasn't fast enough for it to download, but it does take a while through the speed of the Wi-Fi on the PlayStation Portable. If you do not have something else to connect to the internet with, it is going to be an absolute pain to use. It's good for demos, it's good for updates, stuff like that. But for something the size of Final Fantasy VII, which, you know, I can't remember how large it is. It is a gig something, because obviously it was three CDs, the game. The way I got around it was I went onto the partition of my MacBook, logged into Vista, installed the Media Go stuff, which comes on a disc in the box. I recommend not to install it because it's an old version and it doesn't work with a store, so it automatically wants you to update it, but there's no progress bar on the update, so you'll just sit there twiddling your thumbs, staring at the screen, waiting for it to finally say yes. And I got bored of that, so I uninstalled it, downloaded a copy off the internet, that worked straight away, logged into my account. I said, I'd already bought it on the store, so I just went to the re-download, and it said, please plug in your PSP. Plug in the PSP, starts downloading. I think it was like half an hour later, it completely downloaded. So, to be honest, I'm not going to have any issues, because if I want to buy any more games, I'm just going to purchase them on my PS3, queue them for downloads. When they're finally downloaded, they'll sit on my PS3, I plug in the PSP, and they automatically transfer across onto the console, and they're there. I'm not going to be fussing with the whole trying to download it straight to the console off my Wi-Fi. There's no point, really. So if you don't have the ability to use Media Go and you don't have a PS3, I would really reconsider the whole PSP Go thing, unless you've got a really fast broadband.
Yeah.
If need be, try a friend if they've got one on your broadband to see how long it takes to actually download a game or something, to see if it times out or anything. Because if that's the position you get in, it's not that great with a whole digital download.
Console-wise, I mean, I would download, if you've got a portable player, right, it isn't plugged into the mains and it's pulling a gig over Wi-Fi, you know, the battery would die halfway through.
Yeah, that, you know, you have to have it plugged in while you're doing it, and that's why, to me...
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I don't have to. At one point, I was just downloading stuff straight over Wi-Fi, but yeah, exactly. It's like all PSPs, they've got a physical switch to kill the Wi-Fi, so it does not work whatsoever to save on battery life. One thing that it does have over the standard PSP, it has another selection for the changing of the brightness. It's got three brightnesses as normal, but if you've got it plugged into the mains, it goes brighter one more, and it will only do that if you're on the mains. So if you're running off normal power, it'll say, oh, well, you can go brighter again if you want to. But obviously it doesn't allow you to use that brightness off mains, otherwise it will drain the battery too quickly. Screen's pretty good. I've had it on the lowest brightness while I've been playing it, and I've not needed to update the brightness. I'm quite happy with that, and I know I'm saving on battery power. Control-wise, I actually find it a lot more comfortable. A lot of people were... ooh, it's small, no, it's not that nice. I had a go at one in Cribs Causeway. They had one on a display that you could pick up. You couldn't play with it, it had no power, but I got to have a feel of it. And I found that it's actually, hand-wise, it's a similar spacing as you would have for the PS3 controller. I must admit, the shoulder buttons are a bit weird, but you get used to them pretty quick. Thumbstick, a lot better. It's actually in the same place it would be for a PS3 controller, where I found the other thumbstick was too high to the left and it really hurt my thumb using it. So I very rarely used it. I always use the D-pad. Where this, the D-pad feels like it's a stretch to get to, like it is on as much of a stretch as it is for a PlayStation controller. But the thumb pad is in a really nice place. And to be honest, it's in such a nice place. The indent for where the select and the start is, it is such a shame they did not put an extra thumbstick in and actually make it so it's got PS3 controls. But the only way they would have done that is if they were getting rid of the standard PSP, or they brought out a PSP 4000 that has a thumbstick and new games can only be played on those. But you know what Sony like, they don't want to screw themselves over by making games only work on certain consoles. But yeah, it would have been lovely if they could have done that. But button-wise, everything feels nice. It feels sturdy. The mechanism for sliding open is very clean-cut and moves into position. It stays open, if you know what I mean, and it stays shut. It doesn't feel like it's going to slide too easily. I must admit, I'm trying not to get myself into a habit like you would with those slidey phones where you're clicking them open, that close, open, close, open, close. you know, try not to do that because I'm sure it will wear it out. But as far as opening up, it is good. The opening up has got a sensor in there which actually turns it on for you. So unless you've got the hold locked in, you literally just slide it open, it automatically powers up. I'm sure everyone's seen that when you close it, it comes up to a strange clock or a calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually turn that off and say go into sleep mode like you would when you flick the off button quickly. So if you're like on a train and you're just jumping on and off tubes or something like that while you're playing, you could turn it on at the beginning of journey, and every time you have to put it away for a few seconds, you just close it and it shuts down.
Yeah.
And then where you want to carry on, you open it back up and you carry on playing. Some games allow you to actually close it. I was actually reading a comic and playing another game which allowed me to actually close it, and it did not interfere with the game, which means that if you are watching a movie, I've not tested it because I've not put any videos on it yet, I'm getting the impression that you'd be able to close it down and you will have this small little media device that you'd be able to just stuff somewhere or put it in the cradle if you go buy one of those and actually watch it without having to have it open to go through a whole video. So that's pretty good. Battery life, pretty reasonable. And look and feel is very nice. There's two grips on the bottom which help hold on to it, which are very good. If you put it on the table, it won't slide off. It is a complete finger magnet, so fingerprints are all over it already, and I'm constantly wiping the screen, but as like any device, it's, it only goes that way. But yeah, all in all, I am very impressed with it. It's definitely the console for me because it means I can carry around all the games on the hard drive and works brilliantly, and you're not having to worry about filling the memory card by doing extra things like putting music on it. I never put a music on a PSP before because it used up precious memory card space, where now there's 16 gigs to be used on there. So yeah, no, I'm impressed. So out of 5,
1,
I would give
2.
This a 4 because I can't see anything wrong with it. I would only give it a 5 if they could have sorted out the whole download over its own Wi-Fi connection issue sorted, and if it was actually a Mark II PSP where it's moved on. There's going to be stuff that will only be able to be played on this, and the old PSPs will be slowly brought out, and everyone would have a PSP Go. But it is a sideways step, and it is for a specific market, and it will run side by side with its standard PSP, and I find that shame. I know a lot of people aren't ready to go digital, and maybe this is their first attempt to say, right, our next console will be like the PSP Go, but more. I don't know, but because he didn't do that, I can't go to a 5. But I am 100% happy with it. I love it to bits. It's good fun to have a go on it. But yeah,
right.
We're still lacking.
That sounds fun. I will not be purchasing one, but
I
don't think I'll be getting one.
Well, not yet, at least.
Because I'm not going to be able to get all my PSP games onto it, so I see no point.
Yeah, it's like that. Exactly. You know, if you've got a PSP, you've got all these games, you're either going to have to get rid of all of them and rebuy them, or say, from now on, I will just buy everything digital and play them on there, and when you want to play your old games, you're going to have your old PSP. You know, for someone who's already got one, I would say just upgrade to a larger memory card just to get the extra stuff, but yeah. Cool. Right. Canadian PS3 controllers.
Yeah, what's the deal with this?
I just wanted to throw this out quickly because I thought I'd missed the beat when I came out here looking at what's on PlayStation 3, but then I found out it's only in the States and Canada. A lot of their product line is pretty much the same, apart from the packaging has been slightly changed. They've updated it with the red. And it's similar to ours, but it's got a bit more of a fancy like ribbon going across. And I walked into a store and I was like, oh, DualShock 3 PlayStation 3 controller, and it's red, and there's a blue one, and there's a silver one, and they actually have already brought them out in multitude of colors.
They've had them out in Japan in different colors for ages. I've got a white one.
I'd never even noticed, because obviously I try not to go look at what's in other countries, otherwise I start spending obscene amounts of money to try and get it imported, so I keep my nose out of it. But I wish I'd picked one up. I didn't have any money left to be able to pick one up, and they pretty much work out the same price as they are here. They're not much cheaper. But yeah, they look really, really nice, and I'm hoping that they come over here, that they bring the colors to this country, because it would make a nice change. I've always liked it since the N64, of the idea of being able to have different color controllers for no apparent reason, you know, to have them not match in the console, so you can see which controller is which. You know, I've got a habit of they can match. I always end up making a match. I've got an Elite Xbox 360, and I've got two black controllers for it. And if I had to buy another one, I'd go out and buy another black one. I know I would. Or one that was Catherine, your Halo one. You know, I'd buy something like that. I wouldn't go buy a grey one because it'd look weird. But the idea of having, you know, funky colours seems quite nice. So I must admit, if they come over soon, I'm to my second controller from PS3, I might get one of those. Either blue or red. Grey and silver just reminded me too much of my silver slimline. But yeah, they're out there. You know, like me, you were completely unaware. The fact they're in Canada now means that you might be able to pick one up on a holiday or to the States or whatever. As far as I'm aware, they should be completely compatible, so looks groovy.
Moving along, because multicolored controllers are fun, but what is even more fun is a virtual arcade room. Have you seen this? Game room? Anyone?
Nope.
You know, I have seen a bit of it.
Okay.
Tell me all about it.
Tell us all about it, Catherine.
No, Paul, you're telling us all about it.
Okay, it's basically virtual room on the Xbox 360 where your avatar can hang out with lots of arcade machines. That's all I'm saying about it.
You can mention where it was announced.
So this is for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like how you walk around in the garage in Gran Turismo sort of thing. Not Gran Turismo.
It's just like PlayStation Home.
Yeah. But it's kind of like the Project Gotham arcade machines where you could go up and play Geometry Wars.
Yeah, except, of course, you can invite your friends to come along.
Yeah.
You can all hang out with your goofy avatars playing fun arcade games. So apparently they're going to have like 1,000 games for this game room over the next 3 years. So, yeah.
I'd be curious to see how it works, because I've tried to have a go at the, like you're saying, Catherine, they did it in Home. I've not played on it much in Home because I didn't like the idea of sitting on a PlayStation 3 on the internet in a virtual environment queuing to play a video game in a bowling alley. I just couldn't get my head around the idea I had to queue to play a video game inside a video game. It just was a little bit weird because it was obviously Home had just come out when it was on beta and everyone was on it and it was barely working for me at the time and I was just kind of like...
Yeah, well, this obviously you won't have to queue because it's your own place.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
So, yeah, this will be released sometime this year with, I don't know, a bunch of old arcade games.
I heard Tempest is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Also at CES, which was whenever it was, this last week just gone, Halo mm-hmm. Reach was shown off. Well, I say shown off, a trailer for it was shown.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a Halo Reach trailer kicking around. You could probably download it from Bungie's website, I'd imagine.
Well, I'm sure it's on YouTube already,
low quality on YouTube, no doubt.
You get high quality
in
YouTube.
Yeah, but people just upload it in shit quality. Because
well, game trailers then.
They have to look.
Or Bungie's website, of course.
Or Bungie's website.
They're on the media bar, on the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. I've not even looked on the Xbox.
I'll have a look later.
No. Not since CES.
Have they given a release date for Reach?
This year.
It's this year?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I'm happy with that. It's when anything that I've been waiting for last year, and they start mentioning the word 2000, you know, I've got to get out of the habit of using the word 2000. 2011, I'm not happy.
Yeah, they have, however, also released the, announced the release date for Natal, which, as we already suspected, will be this year.
Not for a while this year, though.
Well, you know, end of the year.
It's Christmas time next year, or, well, there's some places I saw said Christmas, but what is it, October or something like that, November?
The official date is Fall 2010.
I'm not sure if I'm going to go out and buy one straight away. I think I might sit at the back of the pack and see what happens.
I will, because I want to log into an Xbox just by sitting in front of it.
Okay, you can buy one from here then.
See, that's the thing though, Paul, is it's got features that you look at and go, that's all I want from it. It fits the bill.
I can just use gestures to operate media stuff on it. So
the way that you use your Xbox, the fact you utilize all the features to watch media, it's perfect for you. Where, for me, where I probably wouldn't, and most of my media stuff's on my PS3, I'd probably use it for the game sort of thing, and if it starts going the way of the Wii, I probably won't go there again. But, yeah, I'm waiting to see. I'm still kind of about it.
I don't know. Might be good. Depends on the games.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't end up like Tony Hawk's
Ride.
Skateboard. Yeah.
What's wrong with Ride?
It's the most expensive, worst game ever made. To be honest, the board's not that bad. It's just a game. I read a review on it, and some guys said the board's actually quite fun if you were playing something else. But Tony Hawk's Ride, the game, is not, you know.
Someone traded one in today.
Yeah, not surprised. Feel sorry for them for the money they lost. And the hole that they've left in their mum's carpet from playing on it. Right, this next bit, I saw you post about this on Facebook. So did you actually get hold of a key?
Yeah, I got a key for it. Apparently I should have known that Paul wanted a key as well. But he would have to have gotten his own one anyways. From what I played though, I think it's a bit shit.
Yeah, it looked a bit shit.
But I haven't done the space combat yet.
Oh, you've only been on the ground as a camp.
Because it kind of started with a tutorial for you.
Oh, right.
So kind of like how Galaxies did.
Okay, yeah.
And you're on a ship. I don't know which ship, a made-up ship. And the Borg are attacking. And you have to go do these things that this commander tells you to do.
Were you playing a beta, or is this just a free jump-in?
This is the closed beta.
Okay. So he's not grabbing you then, it's not saying play me.
That combat was horrible. I hate it. Really? And the AI of the enemies just seemed to be shit. I mean, I started off, because after you do all that, then you get to go back into your ship, which you name at the start. And then you're in space, which I thought was okay.
They have the ability to walk inside your ship, because they were on about putting that in, but it was a maybe. I'm curious if that was in the beta.
I don't know, because what I did, the second I was in space, it asked me to do a mission, which was like rescuing some people. So I did that, and then it told me I'd go into combat, and I was just like following the tutorial. But I was tired when I was playing. I was going to play again today, but I hadn't gotten around to it.
Okay.
But I think it's the open beta soon as well.
Yeah.
And then everyone will be able to play it.
I had my doubts for it. It kind of looked cool, but it just kind of seemed like a Star Trek version of old school Galaxies dumbed down.
Galaxies is way better. The species in this get hardly anything. You can be, what was it? Human, a Vulcan, a Bajoran. What were the people with the antenna?
Andorans.
Oh, the blue guys.
Andorans. Something that.
Andorians, whatever.
Andorians.
They are.
Something Paul had never heard of.
They did say that you could make up your own species, though.
You can, but not really. You can make your own species, but it's got
bits of everybody
two
else.
Set heads that you can choose from.
Oh, right.
So it's not really making your own species.
Because I was tempted by the other one they've done with Champions Online.
Mm.
But I had heard that they made changes to that at the last minute that made it not seem like what they were trying to sell at the beginning. I was tempted to maybe just pick up a 14-pound copy or wait for it to be on trial just to try that one, because I was like City Heroes, but obviously no one's playing that these days. But I don't know, I've kind of gone off MMOs at the moment. I've just kind of backed away from my WoW fetish and been playing on my consoles too much. But yeah, shame that, because I was kind of hoping that maybe Star Trek Online was going to be going in a different direction with the fact that you've got a ship and you can get out of it, kind of like what you could with Galaxies, with having the whole ship and designing it yourself. It was a very good element to it, and it gave me a lot of fun when I played the game. But Oh, shame that. I guess I'll have to wait for Star Wars.
It was horrid enough as it was, firstly, because I had to patch it, which was 10 gig. And it was pretty much downloading it for like 2-3 days, because the servers were really slow, because everyone else was downloading it as well. And also, their closed beta is quite weird, because I've never done a closed beta like it before, because you can only play at certain times. So it's between, I think, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. PST, and only on certain days.
Whoa.
So not like every day of the week you can play it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a bit crap. I could play a bit more, though, and see if it gets any better. It might do. The space stuff might be fun. I don't know.
It all depends. I think that's the thing. MMOs, I think, for a lot of us who play MMOs, have changed a bit, because when I first started playing them, anything I played seemed real fun. So I want to play Galaxies, I had a clue what I was doing, you know. I bought an R2 unit and I didn't know what it did. I still, to this day, don't know what it did.
They didn't do anything.
Because at first, I realized you had to learn how to...
to make them and stuff.
Yeah, and then you could program them to do what you want. And then later on, they don't do anything, and it's just a pet that follows you. But in the first part release of the game, you could program them to do what you wanted to. So, you know, stuff like that. But I was having so much fun exploring this world. And the same thing that happened when I played City of Heroes, and then I played WoW, and then I went to play War. What is it?
Warhammer.
Warhammer, thank you. I played Warhammer, and I think because I'm in series playing WoW, I just kind of felt like I couldn't get into it. It was like it was trying to wear someone else's shoes, and you're trying to hobble down the street, trying to enjoy what you're doing, but it's just not quite fitting. And it was a different MMO, and I think I'm going to find that with a lot of MMOs now, where unless they get the beginning right, for someone who's playing a specific MMO for a long period of time, it's going to take you a while to fit yourself into this new environment, new controls, and maybe a different way of going about the MMO scene. But yeah, I think I can even get on with that one, so...
Well, I think, really, I was disappointed from the start with the choice of characters.
Yeah.
Well, the choice of species, even. Because I thought, yeah, it was kind of crap.
Hopefully the final game is better than the closed beta.
Maybe. Either that or they'll decide to release species and expansions or something like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised if they did that with Star Wars.
But, like, you can't even play as a Klingon.
You can't play as a Klingon?
No.
Well, I suppose the Klingons aren't really part of the Federation, aren't they? They're just...
No, but, friends. You know, they should at least have...
Well, they should have factions as well.
Yeah, you should be able to go like, oh, you can play a half-human, half-Klingon. You know, because there are Klingons characters who are in the Federation, so...
There's one. He's called Worf.
And then the half-Klingon human, B'Elanna. I'm showing that I watched doing Star Trek.
Yeah, but she's really a Maquis. She's not Federation.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they should have an interesting way of being able to get into it. Because that's the thing, you can only play as a Federation. They ought to have it for something so big.
We should play it actually, the side.
Yeah.
What are they called?
What other side? When you,
Federation and the...
And the what?
Well,
whatever. The bad guys.
What? Do they have a term?
Who?
The people against the Federation.
It's anybody, the board.
Everyone else.
Everyone else. They don't have a
There's no other faction against them. That would make it so much easier for the game, because in Star Wars you had the Rebels.
And the Alliance.
The Empire.
Oh.
Rebel Alliance, the Empire, and then you had the guys in the middle, the people who were other people, the kind of like Han Solo peoples before he joined the Rebel Alliance sort of thing. Where you work for Jabba the Hutt and you're a smuggler or a bounty hunter or whatever. So you're either in the middle fighting for yourself, or you're either one side of the faction or the other. And having the faction thing does make the game interesting, and it's a shame that the Star Trek one couldn't go down that alleyway. But then some games do have a hard time going down it. I know the City Heroes did, because it was all about being a hero, and people were like, well, I want to be the bad side, and they had to go through the whole process of making another game just for people who wanted to play as a villain, and the connectivity was supposedly amazing, but it ended up just being PvP arenas that you happen to walk into. You could never go into the other faction's area. You were always separated. So yeah, I can see the Star Trek would be a hard one to actually bring in. You can play the Federation or the other guy.
Should go to the next thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Star Trek Online, meh, it might be good, but at the moment it's a bit on the weak side.
Well, I'll play a bit more. Have a see. Okay. Okay, it's the birthday or what, the anniversary of it coming out of Crayon Physics Deluxe. So currently you can pay whatever you want for it. What? What's that mean? What?
We're getting hand gestures now from someone.
If you shut the door, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Sorry.
She
shut the door. Okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so Crayon Physics Lux, you can pay whatever you want for it. So like what World of Goo did for its birthday. And this is until the 15th of January. So there's 5 more days of it. I paid $3 for it. I feel a bit mean. Cool. That was about £1.90. So I'm like, it's not very nice. Either way, they'll have a load of people buy it because of it. Because it's quite expensive normally, isn't it?
Mm.
You always used to moan about how expensive it was. You're too busy playing your game, aren't you?
Yeah, sorry.
What's he playing?
A crappy game on Portal Forums.
Hey, it's on portalforums.net. They've got lots of fun games.
He had me playing this before we started the show, and I was there going, oh my god, I'm playing this stupid penguin game.
He's playing a tower defense kind of game.
No, this is Age of War, normal, whatever that means.
I was playing one of them, and it required me to hit control and the arrow keys, and I hit the wrong control, and one control with arrow keys is fine on my MacBook, the other one shifts from one workspace to the other, so all of a sudden the screen disappeared, and it was shifting backwards and forwards, like, what am I, oh, yeah, wrong keys, use the other one. Don't get me addicted to those penguin games, they just remind me of being at work with Flash games at lunchtime. Crazy.
Crayon Physics Deluxe, not bad. So you can in fact pay a penny for it if you really want.
Wow.
But I don't want to be mean. I didn't do that with World of Goo. I paid him like $3 as well, I think.
Well, I suppose every penny counts.
Yeah. And the thing is, it gets them more units sold in the end from doing things like this. Because some people will pay a fair amount of money. Especially if they like Clooney games as games. So yeah. How's that?
And if they stop selling them, at least it's money that's being made, because I'm guessing it's just downloadable, so it's not exactly like you're buying it from a shop or anything.
Yeah, the only problem is, of course, because it's through PayPal, probably anything that's under maybe 50 cents, or maybe, I'd reckon 50 cents, they probably won't get, because of being taken in PayPal fees.
Was there a limit to how little you could pay?
No. They should really limit it.
Yeah.
Because the World of Goo guys realised that they weren't getting any money for a lot of the purchases just because PayPal took it.
Yeah, I'm sure PayPal are rubbing their hands together quite nicely.
Yeah.
Well, they get money, whatever. They get a minimum fee, and then they also get a percentage.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's that. I just want to mention it so people can buy it if they want to. If they want to have a look at it. It's just a physics-based kind of game. Paul's played it.
Yes, I thought I think it's a brilliant game.
There you go.
Especially on a tablet PC.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember watching you play it. Right. Mag Baker. Do you know what Mag is, both of you two?
I got a code for it at some point, I just never used it.
It's gone from a closed beta, which I did try to
is
get
it
into.
Open now?
It's an open beta, which finishes, unfortunately, today. Today is the last day to be playing it. I played it all of yesterday. But don't worry, if you were kind of like, ooh, I really want to play this game, and you haven't been paying attention and you've missed out on the beta, it is out on the 29th of this month. Basically, it's a massive multiplayer first-person shooter. It's kind of like Modern Warfare 2. But I think it basically the map size on Modern Warfare 2, I think the largest amount of people we can have on a map is 18 people all together fighting against each other.
Yep.
On this one, it's 256 players.
Oh, this is that one where they're bragging, oh, we got 256 players. Yeah. So?
I was a bit dubious about it, especially the fact that we're all about, well, you're not, you know, how do you can, you know, that versus that, all on one map, you know, it's just going to be a barrage of people running past you, and kind of like, oh my god, look at the kill count, I'm just shooting all of these people. To be honest,
or more accurately, you'd be getting pwned yourself.
Yeah, and I expected to die an incredible large amounts. Now, how it works is, you have two teams, which will be your army, and then the army is split down into platoons, and I can't remember how many platoons are in an army, but inside a platoon, there are four squads, and then inside each squad, I think it's eight players, something like that, I can't remember the exact numbers. So when you get into the system and you go in, you join a squad. Now, as you level up and you unlock more gear and you level up your character, you unlock the ability to be in charge of a squad. So you can be a squad leader. Eventually, you'll have the ability to be in charge of a platoon, and then you'll be in charge of the whole army. What that means is you get abilities that other people don't have that allow you, like if you were in charge of a platoon, you would say, right, squad leader Alpha, attack this place. Squad leader Beta, I need you to defend this bridge. And they would get that information that comes up on the HUD, allowing them to see the directions of what they're doing, defending, attacking, blowing something up. And then you would go that way, communicating over the headset or with commands, and the rest of the squad would follow suit. And they can go off and do what they want if they want to. And to be honest, if they start being a pain, you can boot them out of your squad and they get left by themselves. And they're pretty much just sitting duck because you have to work together. When you get shot, unless you get a clean kill through the head, you pretty much drop down and you start wiggling around. I've seen some people being able to move a little bit and shoot, which I guess you have to level up to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're literally just on the floor screaming your head off, and a medic will come over and a medic can heal you and get you back on your feet. So you can get one of your squad members back up. If you've been left behind and they're kind of like, oh, we can't come back for you, you can push the bleed out button and he'll just scream his head off and die, and then you'll respawn back where you were before.
That sounds nice.
It is nice the fact that the game feels incredibly hard if you're not willing to commit to the purpose of the game. Yep. If you just want to I was with some people and everyone was just running left, right and center and nothing was getting done. The next time I went in, one of the squad teams had a headset on. He was saying, right, everyone follow me. We're going to A. If you die, don't bleed out. I will come and revive you. And we were being pinned down constantly, but I very rarely had to respawn. I was being picked up all the time, and we were covering fire for each other, and we finally got to our destination, defended it, and got really good ranking from it. So it straight away, people commit to it. All of a sudden, they realize, actually, if you do this whole, you know, I lead, you follow technique, and you get some really good tactics, even with headsets or even without headsets, it allows you to actually tell people what to do without having to have the headset. Kind of like Modern Warfare does, where if you reload your character screens, I'm reloading, so you know that that person won't be able to fire. And they get shot, it'll screen medic, so you know that someone's been shot. And the icons are constantly around the screen over people's heads. If you're looking at them, you don't see them. If they're out of your eye shot, you can see that they're to the right to the screen or to the left screen, allowing you to turn your head to look at people that are on your side. Your squad teams have icons above their heads, so you don't start following halfway across this map some guy who you respawned next to and then realize, oh, you're not in my squad, I'm not supposed to follow you, I'm on the completely wrong side of the map. So they give gentle hints of where you need to go and allow you to all communicate as a full-blown army attacking. But the maps are really well designed to the point that you're not seeing the rest of the battle. You are just one squad in a platoon doing a mission. You won't, maybe the other platoon or maybe the other squad that's in your platoon, you might not see them the whole entire match because you're paying attention to the small area that you're in charge of defending or attacking. And
wow. Sorry, mate, I just have to interrupt.
Go for it.
I didn't beat my old score in this game. This is insane.
What did you beat?
And now I've lost at Penguin Shot as well.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to keep playing them like everyone on the forums is now.
Yeah, look how many people are online.
Look at the games bit and see how many people are playing them. It tells you that, doesn't it, on the arcade? Oh, there's only two people playing.
I was playing earlier. I've logged out. But yeah.
Paul just interrupting you.
Yeah, I interrupt my flow. So obviously, anybody who's listening to this show, it's probably too late. The beta is closed. I'm sorry. I must admit, I...
Yeah, you will be sorry. Smack!
But, yeah, it does look good from what I've played. Any reviews I've looked on where people have been adding on, it's always been people from the closed beta, and they're ranting and raving about it. If you play Modern Warfare, I definitely recommend this game because it is just Modern Warfare on acid. The cool thing is you get three factions that you can play as. One of them is just kind
the
of like...
The Insidious Orders, the Evil Heart Conan, and the Noble Atreides.
Why are you talking about
that's from
Dune
2.
I don't know. Now and again he does this to me, all of a sudden starts coming out with Dune stuff. I don't mind it. Yeah, you play as one arc. They're basically all NPCs, so they're paramilitary armies who work for these governments, and they're all supposed to be in the background. But when you play the game, the storyline is that there's actually more happening in the background that the public actually realise, and they're actually fighting against each other all the time for these contracts. And instead of trying to bid for them, they'll actually battle each other to try and defend an area so that they can screw over the other companies so that they're better at doing a contract for a country or something. So you play as one... I can't remember all the names, which ones are which, but there's ones which are pretty much, they're like US Marines sort of grunts using that sort of technology. There's this one that's got a very wealthy corporation, so they've got kind of more future tech, and they kind of remind me of the soldiers' uniforms from Battlefield 2142. And then there's these guys which are kind of like, they don't have much money, they spray paint stuff, they've always got skull masks on and hoodies, and they're a bit more kind of like hardcore, you know, headbutt you before they shot you type of guy.
With all the games with skull masks nowadays and fucking skull helmets. Like in Halo Reach, they had them in that trailer.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with it is.
What is it about?
God knows.
They're doing it for a reason. Is it copying something? I don't get it. It's not either.
It's a fad. It's a gaming fad.
They do have
them now and again, the odd gaming fad. But yeah, no, I was very impressed with it, and if I can put some money aside, I probably will buy it when it comes out and release.
Is it coming out retail?
Yes, no. It'll be it's a retail disc game. That
I wasn't sure if it was just maybe like an online purchase or...
No, it'll be a full-blown game.
PS3 exclusive as well.
PS3 exclusive.
Yeah.
Which, I must admit, before I realised it was a PS3 exclusive, straight away I was kind of like, okay, it's on the PS3. Oh, it's on the PS3 only. And then I thought, oh, this is going to be rubbish because nothing that you have to play online is ever any good on PlayStation. And then I thought to myself, well, actually, everything that's only for PlayStation is really good. It's only the stuff that has to be shared that gets a little bit iffy. So I had my doubts. I was expecting... problems. Now, when I first started playing the beta, I couldn't get on all day. It kept coming up with this error, and then I managed to get on. I presume that it was just something that's happening with the service because it's a beta. But once I got on, I must admit I had no lag issues whatsoever with playing the game. No bad distortion from any headsets that were being used. Even to the point I had to mute someone because they actually had the radio on in the background and they didn't realize it was activating their mic constantly. So I was actually listening to an American radio. And obviously I don't have a headset from a place to do so. I couldn't tell them to shut up. So I was just...
You can go
like,
into game and get one for 15 quid.
Yeah.
15 quid. 1998.
Kinder Cell. I know. I was looking at them today. I was like, no, I need to buy Assassin's Creed 2. I can't. Shouldn't start buying stuff like that. So I might treat myself to one if I buy this game. It'll be worth it then. But yeah, no, I must admit, I'm very impressed with this game. It's well worth a look at. They've done a good job with the way that it looks. They've got some really nice maps. Good games as well, with the fact that it's kind of like, I was playing it wasn't Domination. It was basically you were trying to destroy a facility or an array, or you're trying to defend your antenna or whatever you had. It works up in a tier system as well, which is quite nice. So when you're attacking or defending, there's two places to attack or defend, A and B, which might be like an antenna or a relay station or whatever. But if they're both taken over by the opposition, a third one, C, will be like the backup, which you have to then go. And once that all changes, a lot of the respawn points change as well, because you've moved further up the map. On one of them, you could go to one respawn on the left side, one respawn on the right side, and there was A was on the left, B was on the right. So you got a little bit closer across the map, so you weren't spending all this time running. When you got both of them and you had to go to C, which is far north, then you got an extra respawn point, which was in the middle, which was actually jumping out of the back of a C-17 and parachuting down.
And oh, that's cool.
You get full control of the parachute, speed it up, bank left, bank right, slow it down, drop it down quicker, or make it glide longer. And depending on how the battle's going, determines how you got to control that parachute, because on some of them, I was being headshot by a sniper in a building on the other side of the map. And he was taking pot shots, and it seems to only hit me, because I was at the back of the group, and I was the one he was aiming for. I'm sure it was just pure luck, because I didn't get shot every time. But then, all of a sudden, I could drop down freely and land myself on top of the building to snipe from, because I could see the rest of my platoon firing rockets at this ledge on this building we were trying to get into. So I knew there were no snipers, so I knew I had time to glide down, and when they weren't bombarding it, I was always paranoid of being shot in the head. When you fall, you take damage as well, quite nicely. You have this sort of sense where you know, like you get like I'm trying to think what you brackets. It looks like the bracket screen. You normally get something that determines that you're being shot from the right. Turn to the right, you're being shot. Turn to the left, you're being shot. You normally get those sort of things. What they've got is they've got these red brackets up here that kind of give it a sense of which direction you want to spin, up, down, left, right, wherever, with red, kind of showing you're being shot. But the other thing they've got are white ones, and the white ones are to signify that you've heard gunfire, to allow you to rotate your head to look for gunfire. Because it's going to be a bigger map, if there's someone near you, they're not necessarily shooting at you because there's lots of players, or they're shooting at another squad. So it made it quite nice that, okay, I've sat there and I've got my headphones on when I was playing it, and I could hear the gunfire coming from the right. But it was this nice little key to say, turn right, look what's there. And I saw some guy coming running through the trees, and I literally just headshot him. And he had no clue I was there because I was crawling down behind some blown up car. So it does give it a nice sense of a big open scale battle compared to the small skirmishes that you get in most first person shooters.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of run around barrels and try and hide and then jump out and shoot someone. So it was nice to have that other flavor. It kind of made me think of some of the games that, like, myself and you play, Paul, that are first person shooters. This is kind of like, yeah.
Quake.
All of those ones, up to Halo and stuff like that, they go from small maps to larger maps, and this one kind of makes me feel like when we were playing RTSs, and then you had Supreme Commander. It was a massive battle that lasted a lot longer, and there was a lot more going on. This feels like it's that for first-person shooting, where it's a more larger-scale battle. Now, I know Battlefield 2 has, and the other battlefields have done larger upscale because you had vehicles you could move around. But obviously the battles are contained by the fact there's a limited amount of people on the map. So there is just one or two people over here, one or two people over there, or the map is completely dead and everybody's in one location fighting each other. Where this is more likely that because of the fact of what you're not just there to shoot someone, you're there to achieve something, you're there to destroy something or defend something or take over someone's base or whatever. It means that everybody has got to, they've got a plan, they know someone else is doing something else. If you find one of your brethren on the floor, you help him, but otherwise you follow your squad, you do your job, you get on with it, you shoot the bad guys. And it had a different flavor to it, and I must admit, I'm impressed. I'm probably going to get it.
It sounds quite good.
Yeah.
I think from the beta, I'm standing quite enthusiastic about it. The beta delivered. After I played it, what they said that's on the tin was in this beta, to a point. There were some things that were locked out that you couldn't get into, and some of the maps weren't available. And they said, please be advised that most maps aren't available running two at a time, and they're rotating the maps because they're basically paying attention to make sure that every type of gameplay map is working properly and see how people use it, to see if there's any last tweaks before they finish it off. So that kind of made me feel better, the fact that they're actually paying attention to all of these maps and they're not just saying, they'll figure it out. They're actually making sure that they work with people who don't know what they're doing. I'm very impressed with that.
Moving along. What's this heavy rain thing?
Well, I'm talking about it again. We talked about it last week.
Did we?
Stop saying, what's this heavy rain thing?
Has it got a release date? I was looking at the box date, and I was like, ooh, it's coming soon.
Because I mentioned, I think, before, about how they're doing a special edition.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's in the special edition at all?
No.
Because it's actually a HMV exclusive, which is a bit weird.
Okay.
But you get with it the soundtrack. It's got like a special case that looks like it's wet, apparently. I really want to see the case to see how they make it. Well, because apparently they say it's a really nice case. Then you get a dynamic theme for the PS3. And
nice.
A code for the first piece of downloadable content.
Okay.
Which isn't coming out on release. But you'll have the code then to be able to get the first bit for free. I think so far they've announced two pieces of downloadable content, which is like an extra bit onto the game. It's not just like a character or a costume or something like that.
Okay.
And it's coming out over in the UK on the 26th of February, which is the last Friday in February. And then in America they're getting it on the Tuesday, so the 23rd of February.
So I'm already looking at the set. Right, so March, I've got Final Fantasy 13 and I've got Gran Turismo.
And they're right near the start of the.
Yeah, I'm like, month. I don't have enough money to get them both. it's another one.
I've already ordered it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I must admit, from what you've said and what I've seen on trailer wise, and just for the fact of the aspect of that type of gameplay, I'm majorly looking forward to this game.
Did you play Fahrenheit?
I only played the demo of it.
Okay.
I think I played the demo. Yeah, it must have been the demo. So it only went so far through, but the demo was completely open for that section that they let you do, so you could do it in multiple different ways.
Yeah.
I was told that the game was incredibly short, and that's what put me off spending a lot of money. And at that time, I'd only just had the next, got the Xbox, and you're trying to buy so many different games, it just kind of fell to one side. But from what I played, I really liked the idea of doing that, but more and better. Just the fact it kind of reminded me of, it felt like reading a book, but every time you read the book, the writer rewrote the story for you, or whatever sort of thing.
Yeah, because the good thing about David Cage is that he can do a good thriller, because that's pretty much what Fahrenheit was, and apparently Heavy Rain's an even better one.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm going to be playing on the PS3 that weekend. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be having to try and find money. I already had to put money aside over Christmas just to get Assassin's Creed 2, which I really wanted.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 2 then, Adam, is it any good?
I haven't played it yet. It's sitting on the shelf. I'm sure Adam's played
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. I was a fan of the first one. I found all of its faults, but did not dislike it. The storyline for it was really good. The fact that they admitted that this is going to be a trilogy and there was going to be more coming out and stuff like that. If you haven't bought this game because you haven't had the first one, and that's putting you off because you're kind of like, well, I don't want to have to spend £19.99 or £9 or whatever you can find the first one for, price-wise.
I'm sure you can get like $5 an hour or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised you could. And there's probably people out there who are kind of like, oh, one of these where I'm going to buy the old game, which was put off because someone said they got halfway through and it was the same again, same again, same again. Buy it. Buy this game anyway. If you haven't played, just find out roughly what it's about. Easily enough from YouTube, I imagine. And don't worry about the ending, because the beginning of this game carries directly on and kind of reiterates what happened at the end of the last one. So, my mate Gary's completed this game, and he said, I won't tell you anything about it because I know you're a fan, but it's really good. And he asked me some questions about the ending of the last one. And what I described to him, he said, yeah, I know that, yeah. That's cool. I've not missed anything. So I filled in a few gaps, but pretty much you could play this game and not have to have played the first one, just know roughly what it was about, and you get the gist of it. Now, there is some stuff you will miss out on, but it's not something that's key to the development of the character or to the development of the story. If you've got spare cash and you want to play through the first one first, I would recommend it, even just for the storyline of it. Even though the repetitiveness is annoying, knowing that when you get to this game, it is completely gone. It was a bit weird to play at first because I'm so used to the staticness of the first game in comparison to this one that I felt a little bit lost at first. Like, whoa, I can do all of this. I can do whatever I want, you know. There's structure to the game, but there's a lot more looseness to it than the first one was. There's a lot of things to do. You can keep yourself happy. It kind of reminded me of playing like Legend of Zelda, where you've got a mission, you've got to get on with it, but if you get stuck or you get bored, you can go off and do whatever else you wanted to. Kind of like what you do with Grand Theft Auto. To be honest, to this day, I've never completed a Grand Theft Auto, and I'm not bothered that I have.
I completed number 3.
I never got to the end of number 3 because I got stuck on one mission, but I quite happily, you know, I spent an entire day trying to see how far I could spin a taxi over a bridge once because I found this really cool jump. I just kept doing it all over there again. And, you know, it's one of those games where as long as you're enjoying yourself, you don't have to necessarily complete it, as far as I'm concerned. This one, yeah, you know, you'd get bored if you just kept running around, but there's other things to keep you occupied, where before it, you just felt like you're the assassin, there's your target, funny little cutscene, kill him, go to a tower, fall off it, look around, listen to someone, pickpocket someone, go to your assassination, kill him, funny little cutscene, la la la, same again, same again, same again. I haven't done too much of the game, but so far it is chopped and changed. Graphics are a lot more improved. The way it's presented through this whole virtual environment that's in the game is improved incredibly large amounts. Story-wise, it has opened up tremendous amounts for the story of the main character who is reliving the ancestral past of his ancestors. It's opened it up large, and straight away it gives large hints to what the third one will be about, which I won't say because it's a big spoiler, but you pretty much, if you know what's going on, you can pretty much figure out what the third one's going to be roughly about, or what it's going to look like from the beginning of this one. So yeah, it's definitely worth getting. If you're not too sure, you're not even worth spending money on it, because these types of games you complete really quickly, I would recommend going to Blockbusters or something and renting it just to go through the game to experience it, because it's well worth it story-wise. Ubisoft have done quite a good job with this one, and yep. I'm impressed.
Alright, so what would you give out of 5? 2.
I don't know if I could give it a score, seeing I've only got through the first part.
Alright, give it a score next week.
Yeah, I'll give it a score after I've played it a bit more through, because I want to get into the meat of the actual story, where I've just gone through the opening parts, which takes a while to get through. I must admit, the story takes a bit to pick up before it starts getting to the proper assassinating things. But all of these little things you're doing are training you to be able to do things properly, because you've already done it for something else. I won't say anything particular, but, you know, you do something mundane to help a character in the story, but you don't realize that the game mechanics you've used to do that are what they use for doing something that's in combat later on, and all of a sudden you're kind of like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. You're not having to try and figure out what you're doing while someone's trying to stab you in the head with a sword. You already got the idea of it later on. But yeah, I definitely recommend getting this game. It's fairly nice.
Yep, so I've got a question. This is directed at Catherine.
Yeah.
What is WiiWa?
I looked at it last night because someone posted it on my lecturer from uni posted it on Facebook, and you should search for it and have a see for it yourself. What it is, you get it's a Wii title, of course.
Is it? I thought it was for the PS3.
I'm guessing at the moment you get this like teddy with it, and you put the Wiimote inside of him. And you walk him around, and he walks in the game. Send the link to Adam as well, so you can see it.
All right, I'm going to have to stop you here. Have you ever seen Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah.
That stupid teddy with a tape in it. That's all I've got picturing in my head.
It's actually really, really cute looking, but, like, with the video... Oh, you've covered it up. You can't see it, Paul.
I'm sending Adam the link, like you said.
See, look, he's moving him.
Getting a link.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm not sure how that works. They're choosing the direction on it.
Maybe you smash him in the face and it.
He's also got like bendable. I don't know. I'm not sure what that was. Yeah, he sent it to you on MSN. Isn't that really cute? You're watching.
Oh no, that's me. My fault for not scrolling down. There we go. Have a look.
It's really weird. But then we read in Edge a little while back that they've made a game which is a baby game, and you put the Wiimote inside of a baby doll kind of
but
thing.
But Natal can do this without a controller.
This is cute. You get a teddy.
You gotta wait for it to stream. It's fighting with the Skyping.
I'm not sure what the badges are about. It's cute.
So when's this out?
I don't know. They haven't announced it. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks interesting. If they charge more than like 35 quid for it, nobody would buy it.
Well, I'd imagine it'd be quite a short game.
Assuming it works well.
But so it looks like just a little kind of platformer with a different kind of way, I suppose, to use the Wiimote.
Yeah, so instead of using the Wiimote by itself,
You put it inside something, so you don't look as silly. Well, because otherwise you'd be going like that if you want to walk, and you'd just be shaking the Wiimote from side to side.
Yes.
It's an interesting way of coming about what they originally wanted you to do. Because at the end of the day, if you can ignore the Wii remote on the Wii, like you can ignore the Xbox controller, and you just think of it as an interface, and you stop forgetting about the fact that the gestures don't work properly, and you just do a gesture, forget about what you're doing, and it happens to work on the screen... There you go. And if a kid can just sit there and hold their toy and play with it to interact with what's on the screen, I think that's an interesting way, because you're not having them sat still, but you're not having a small kid running around with a piece of plastic they can accidentally smack you in the face with while you're trying to eat your dinner if they're stood in front of you.
I think
I know my mate Jimmy has nearly got walloped in the forehead by his 5-year-old son while he was playing Wii.
Only thing is, of course, with the size of that teddy, it won't be able to use the motion plus from the looks of it. But that,
yeah.
That would really matter, really, to be honest. But I thought it looked cool. So I thought I'd mention it to our listeners so they can have a look. We could put a video link coming.
Oh, that's cool. You're making them jump up and down. It's a nice way for a child to interact with a character.
I think it'd be
and
cool.
I like the fact that they decided that the best way to insert the remote is through his mouth.
Yeah.
And not through his I think it would be very disturbing if you were trying to insert it in his back, or there was some stupid screw you had to do.
If he had Velcro in his middle and you had to open it up and put it inside him.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's got some kind of backstory that he ate the remote or something like that.
Yeah. Sure, I imagine they put something on the screen that shows him with a Wii remote and then he swallows it. That's an interesting way of going about it. It looks like a simple game for kids, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and they seem to have the market very well with the Wii, so, you know, if you're going to have the market, do something good with the market. So
I'll
I like that.
It. I'm going to buy it.
You're going to buy it?
I can make Paul play it as well.
Oh, great.
I think it looks really interesting.
If you're going to buy it, you've got to at least get a famous person picture with it. like you do with the cat, with the moon cow. You need a
weird thing.
Yeah. And then pull something out of his mouth, different every time.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a weird sentence. Sorry, I just like to see like you as a famous person, like you're only with nature, this weird thing, the Wii remote sticking out of his mouth, isn't it? It'd be cool though. If you had that as a teddy, you could hide God knows what in his mouth. Anything with the shape of the Wii remote. You'd hide your candy in it. You don't get it back. Yes, I said candy. Sorry, it's because I've been having to change my language while I was in Canada for a moment.
Yes, Adam.
Yeah.
We appreciate the fact that you've been Americanized.
You shouldn't have to change the fact of calling them sweet, well, candy
instead
of sweets.
Yeah, Canadians are not, you're on about.
I'm sure if you say sweets, I know what
you
mean.
Some of them don't, though. You have to be careful what you say, especially when it comes to chips. If you say chips...
Tell them to stop being a douchebag.
I say chips, so they're going to give you crisps.
Yeah, if you ask for crisps, they look at you stupid. If you ask for fries, then you get, you know. The thing is, they still call them French fries, so they don't call them freedom fries, like the Americans do. Which
I'm
is
sure
weird.
The Americans don't.
But,
only one douchebag did.
Yeah, but I had something really nice. Have you ever seen those cross-hatch potato chips?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So it looks like a slice, but it's like a grid on it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I had some of those up at, where was I? It was up at Grass Mountain, and they basically called them hurricane fries. And I was like,
hurricane fries.
What the hell were hurricane fries? So I thought, I'll try them, see what they're like. And out they come, and they've just got jalapenos and red onions all jammed inside their little holes. And I was kind of like, okay, that looks different. That'll go with my burger. Oh, the annoying thing is, they don't sell them anywhere else apart from up at Grass Mountain, which is how it gets to get to. I was kind of like hoping that this was a Canadian thing, but no, it's not a Canadian thing. It happens to be in that one bar.
At least you know to go there again now, in the future.
Yeah, if I ever go back to Grass Mountain, I'm getting hurricane fries in the state. I've lost the show now.
Next show next is Paul's. If you'll stop playing Doom.
Yeah, the next item on the show notes is a little thing called Fable 3, which has been announced. Shit!
Yeah, Paul just died.
I was one short of beating a high score on Doom.
I nearly choked on my own phlegm there.
Damn it.
How about you play games after we finish Gamercast? Yeah? We've almost finished. Oi! Don't press play!
Why not?
Look! One thing left.
I've got to beat that douchebag.
Yeah, you can do that after this.
I want to do it now.
No! Oi! Stop it, we're arguing.
Okay, Fable 3 will be coming out this year. That's it.
There you go.
That is it.
Yeah, that they announced it at CES with everything else, I think.
Well, at least you know it's coming out this year.
It's kind of weird that it's already coming out so soon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'll probably be buggy anyway.
Worries me of what it'll... It's probably out at Christmas with Natal. There'll be a Natal release.
It would surprise me if it had some Natal functionality.
I think they've already mentioned that it has.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that feeling that it is a Natal...
launch title
software.
Anyway.
Yeah. Something that utilizes it quite a lot, but you can get away with not using it if you don't, but you don't get much of the game with it.
No.
That's the thing, I really got the vibe from Xbox that they're kind of like, oh, you don't have to have Natal, but it's the future, buy it.
But it's the future, buy.
Yeah, to the point that, you know, you buy an Xbox Elite and it'll cost more, but it will come with Natal. You don't get a choice, you have Natal.
Well, I'm sure the next generation Xbox will have something like that included with it.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the day when they turn around and go, yes, the new Xbox firmware. If you don't have Natal plugged in, you get three blue lights of death until you plug it in. Like you do with the AV cable. If you unplug it, it gives you one red light or something stupid like that. Or you get four red lights when you do that. Yeah, I can see them doing something where the Xbox doesn't like it if you haven't got Natal plugged in.
I'm sure it'll probably have a screen like the Wii does or something like that, won't it? Say, you know, like, you need to have this plugged in. Plug it now, press whatever.
Yeah.
Plug it in now kind of and good. Wave your arm around in front of it.
The only thing I'm kind of curious about the Natal is the calibration for it. it must have some sort of need for calibration to work itself out. I'm curious whether or not it's like, wow, it's really good, and then your mum comes in and dusts something and moves something, and then you have to go through the whole calibration process. Or if you move something in the background, whether it works out, oh, you've moved the couch, or, whoa, what's that? Oh, recalibrate, oh, that's the couch, okay.
No, it won't even see the couch.
Right. Then it runs off the infrared, and the standard camera, and all of these sensors burns into one to get the right information. But I must admit, I'm really curious to have a go.
If you actually look at some of the videos released lately, it actually shows what the camera sees.
Okay.
And it's clearly is at least partially in the infrared, because it can just detect the person easily, and it can really see how they're moving.
Right. So, other words, I really shouldn't be using my digital video camera in infrared mode in front of it, because it'll probably go, oh my god, what are you doing?
I haven't even watched any of the videos for it yet. I watched the first one.
See, you're complaining because I'm playing Doom and you're playing on your DS.
I'm not playing on my DS and I'm listening, whereas you're partially listening because you're too busy shooting things.
I have to get more than 70.
I can listen while I draw.
You're drawing on your DS?
A thing came out on DSi, where, called Art Academy, Headstrong made for Nintendo, and it's supposed to tell you how to paint, pretty much. It doesn't do a bad job. I'm just following its lessons for fun, and then it's got like a free paint mode as well, and you can use photos as reference images. It's quite nice.
Cool. Painty. I got a cool book, just going off something completely random. I picked up a copy of the DC Comics Guide to Digital Drawing Comics.
Digital drawing, okay. I didn't know they've done anything like that yet.
Yeah, quite a lot of the comics are actually drawn digitally. It's from Freddie Williams II. He does Robin. Yeah. And he used to work for 2000 AD, and he did Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And he put in his folder at Comic-Con for the a section at Comic-Con where DC like wants portfolios handed in as a competition. The top four get theirs looked at by top, you know, people at DC.
Yeah.
And he managed to get in on the fourth. Spoke to the guy. Has always tried to keep it hidden that he draws digitally, and he moved from pencil to digital. And he says in the beginning of the book that he did the stupid thing by basically telling the guy, I actually do this completely digitally, no pencils whatsoever. He doesn't use a pencil at all. He draws it all on his computer. And the guy was like, really? And he actually flicks back to the beginning of his book and starts going through again and just looking at everything going, wow, that's really good. Wow, you do that digitally. And then they hired him. So, yeah, impressive way to get a job. So, yeah, I picked that up in the art shop in Canada. Lots of useful tips. And another cool program that he goes on about was Google SketchUp.
Yeah.
I downloaded a copy and had a little play with that. It's very basic for what I'm trained to do in a lot of computer programs, but it seemed nice the fact that it had a lot of the stuff that I know what to do was just kind of thrown out the way. It was just simply draw this box, stretch up the box, cave in the box, draw another box, make a window. Here's a preset window, shove it on here. Here's some preset chair wheels, put it on there. There you have, skyscraper on wheels. It just seemed quite nice and simple for just doing simple things for backgrounds instead of, you know, trying to build a computer character or something like
it's,
that.
It's quite good for level mock-ups.
Yeah. Because
they recommend it for a lot of jobs now.
Yeah, the front of the book that he drew is a picture of Superman with the Daily Planet and Metropolis behind him. And the Metropolis behind him is all done as artwork, but the actual section of the Daily Planet that's visible, he actually did in SketchUp.
Because it's
a little bit closer and not blurred out, he used it as a 3D image. And once he built it, then he just coloured it in Photoshop.
I just have to make a quick announcement. I now have the highest score in Doom on portalforums.net.
Congrats.
Right, are we actually going to close this show up?
Yeah.
We're just going to keep babbling on.
But you were the one just playing Doom.
Yeah,
we just see how long you play Doom
capable
for.
Of finishing it up.
Okay, right. Well, this is GamerCast. I'm now back. Hooray. We will be back next week. And hopefully I would have played more Assassin's Creed.
Yep.
You can send feedback to feedback@GamerCast.net. You can also leave us feedback on the blog at GamerCast.net and just comment on the show note, well, the show. Or you can respond to us on Twitter at twitter.com/GamerCast.
And you can visit the forums at portalforums.net. You can sign up for an account and then you can play lots of fun games.
You should add more games to it. People will get bored of them.
I will. I've added 3 new games today.
Cool. Hopefully there weren't more penguin games.
No, it's only 2 penguin yeti games on there.
No more yeti. Right, we will see you next week.
Yes.
Later.
Bye bye.
Later, everyone.
Bye.